My Radio 1. Sean Dilly. With Sean Dilly.
From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s and 80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. However, one of the most well-known names to ever grace the network actually joined at the start of the 1990s.
Sean Dilly. My Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 FM across the UK. McKenna in for Steve Wright this afternoon. And all this week, weather-wise, it's sunshine and showers, basically. Fairly English weather. Glasgow and Belfast are quite rainy. London's going to be fair. Birmingham, rain there. Liverpool is going to be fair. Rain also in Swansea. Southampton, cloudy. And Exeter, cloudy. Give us a call now, 071-637-4343. Or fax us, because we'd like to hear from you. 071-637-2476. And tell us, the question today, this afternoon, is if you knew that the end of the world was in 1 week, what would you do? If you knew the end of the
My old friend Paul week, McKenna, thanks for joining me on My Radio 1, and welcome back to the BBC.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Sean.
What age, roughly, did you fall in love with radio?
It would have been about 14, I think. Somebody played me, it was a pirate radio album. It was a history of pirate radio. It was all Radio Caroline, Radio London, and Capital Radio hadn't long started. I heard Kenny Everett, and I was just mind blown by all of the voices and the different production elements and the humour and the, you know, it was just extraordinary to me. It was so creative.
Why do people like Capital Radio?
I like Capital because all the DJs are great.
I like Capital because it offers a variety of different subjects, all very interesting to everybody.
I know, I just like it.
I like Capital because it cares about people.
Capital, London's favourite.
I'm quite partial to it myself. Let's have a contest on it, shall we? 3881255. Tell me what this is.
No, 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 no.
Know what? You tell us. 3881255. The price today is 16 tracks worth of rock and roll on a new LP. Tell you more in a sec.
I thought, I'll come up and I'll wait for Kenny Everett outside Capital Radio, and I'll ask for his autograph later, and I'll ask him a bunch of questions. And I did, and actually he stopped and he talked to me for a while, and I thought, I'll do that again next week. And then I made a little tape, right, because I rigged up the hi-fi in my mum's front room, and she agreed to buy me a tape recorder if I mowed the lawn every week for a year or something. And I did that, and I took the tape recorder apart and, you know, built a little edit block on it and things like this, and started making tapes. And I remember taking one to Kenny Everett one day. I said, would you have a listen to this? And anyway, the next week he goes, listening, as I've listened to it, you should be a DJ. You have it, you know, like. And it was like, I remember that moment.
Yeah.
I went, wow, maybe I should do this.
Diana Ross and the Supremes.
This is Cuddly Capital, the station that looks after your logo.
We certainly do. And we tell you what's happening in town. Like, for instance, tonight they're showing a blood and guts epic called Capone at the Late Show at the Screen Cinema on Islington Green. And that starts at 11:15.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear.
Satisfaction, released in 1965 and 12 years old today.
Happy birthday to you.
And for Elvis fans, the Gaumont Cinema in Richmond are having a special tribute to Elvis tonight. They're showing two films that were made in the 60s, Paradise Hawaiian Style and Girls, Girls, Girls.
And I got really lucky because my dad knew somebody at BFBS and arranged for me to sit and watch Tommy Vance. And, you know, Tommy was still, for me, is one of the greats.
Hi there, TV on Radio Thomas Vance in Douro, London Town. Welcome once again to the British Forces Broadcasting Service Top 20. Mesdames et Messieurs, Mana Dominant Heaven, we have a brand new entry at number 20. This is sheer elegance, and life is far too short, girl.
You're going to leave.
You know, I got to know Tommy, and I would come and sit in and watch the Friday Rock Show. And the way Tommy would talk, he would talk like this. This is BBC Radio 1. And so I modelled my sort of voiceover style on Tommy.
Hi there, this is Tommy Vance. Welcome to the Friday Rock Show. programme tonight, we've got sessions by The Only Ones, their latest session. One from 1975 by Stretch, who are now defunct. Classic tracks by The Byrds, Little Feat, Barclay James Harvest, Steve Hillage, Jethro Tull and Uriah Heep.
Tommy Vance and Tony Wilson, his producer, were really kind of used to let me sit in and watch. And, you know, watching Tommy, you know, proper Rolls-Royce broadcaster, precision, you know, just his intonation, the way he speaks, but also the way he timed everything and just the care he took over. And Tony Wilson said, look, I know you know, really want to be a DJ. Why don't you come in one night and we'll use the Radio 1 production studio and make a demo? Oh, my God, yes! And we made a demo, and then he phones me up. He says, listen, Derek Chinnery wants to meet you. That's the big boss. I mean, oh, my God. So I'm about 17, right? So I come up to see him, and he was this sort of kindly, almost headmaster-like character. He said, oh, your voice is a bit deeper. You're a lot younger than I realised. So after chatting for a little while, he said, look, I really wanted to meet you. I think you've got potential. Hope you didn't think I had a contract waiting for you here. And not at all. We're going, yes, deep down. But then the next thing, I get whisked round to Doreen Davis, a wonderful lady as well, who said, look, Paul, you have something, you know, you belong here, but you need experience.
That's brand new from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, and that's their new single. It was called Messages. Good afternoon. Welcome underground to Top Shop. It's Paul McKenna playing you the music this afternoon, 25 minutes before 1 o'clock. And this is another new record from Lips Incorporated, Funky Town.
And that experience came firstly in the shape of Radio Top Shop in London's Oxford Circus, which was the kickstart to our careers. And it also seemed to be a springboard, didn't it, for a few of us to make that leap to Radio Caroline on board the Ross Revenge. There was definitely a connection between both stations. Is that how it came about for you?
Through my friend Peter Quinn, Caroline Top Shop. Peter said, he goes, you've got to work it, Caroline Ball, you know. And so I said, oh, Peter, how, you know, can you hook me up? Anyway, I get the call and I go and meet Ronan O'Reilly, the founder of Radio Caroline, who's probably one of the most charismatic people I've ever met. Ronan's like a guru. So he had to go to this shop in Covent Garden, which was where the organisation was run from. But it was a laminating shop, that's right. And I remember somebody walked in, you know, like halfway through someone talking, and Ronan just switched the conversation. Have we been doing much laminating today, you know? And anyway, he would sit you down and he'd give you the talk because he wanted to find out, I think, if you were a Caroline person. And, you know, I said, look, I've long admired, you know, what you've done, etc. I said, look, I've got a question for you. You know, you talk about this big hippie. He was into loving awareness. Yeah. And I said, Ronan, I've got to ask you, what is this loving awareness? And he said, what do you think it is, Paul? And I said, well, I suppose it's putting out a good vibe, sending peace and happiness to people, isn't it? And then he goes, well, that's what it is then. And I thought, oh, this is cool. So it's like a religion without a dogma. You know, it could be whatever you want, you know. Anyway, so I'd go and tell my parents. I said, look, I'm joining this illegal radio station on a ship. And they said, are you sure, son? I went, yes. And they said, let us know you're okay by playing a certain record every day.
Oh, lovely.
I said, okay. I said, right, it's a song by The Cars, Who's Going to Drive You Home? And I played it every day, so let my mum and dad know it's okay.
A little self-indulgence with the Beach Boys, my favourite track of all time from them. That's called Surf's Up. Paul McCartney, No More Lonely Nights. We played you the play-out version, slightly rockier than the one that you'll see on Top of the Pop and here on the radio elsewhere. And Berlin from America with Touch, and I'm in love with the girl on the cover of that album. Fantastic. We're live from the North Sea on 963 kilohertz, Caroline International. Good afternoon. It's now 4 o'clock.
It was possibly one of the greatest real life adventures I ever had. I was happy just to just keep going back to Caroline. I thought, I've found a kind of spiritual home here. And I came ashore, and my friend Tony West phoned me up and he said, Paul, I'm working at... I won't impersonate Tony. I could.
Go on.
And he said, hello there, Paul. I'm working at Chilton Radio at the moment. I think there might be an opening for you here. And so I went and I met Phil Fothergill and he said, look, the breakfast show DJ is away. Would you mind sitting in for a few weeks? I said, delighted. And crikey, I'm 20. I just turned 21. And I thought, I'm on a breakfast show of a proper big ILR station. This is it.
12 minutes to 9, ghastlier than Peking, but more desirable than TSB shares. This is Paul William McKenna, first thing in the morning with the Chilton Breakfast Show. And now in association with NNP Windows, we bring you the very latest traffic and travel news.
When I was working at Chilton, I went one day to interview the local hypnotist. And I'd had a really terrible day. I'd had a broken up with my girlfriend, a row with Phil, my boss, the people in the apartment where I was working were keeping me up with bloody noise. And I went along to see this guy. And he said, look, rather than me explain it to you, I need to do it to you. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, you need something. I went, knock yourself out. I was benevolently skeptical. Anyway, I sat back, relaxed, closed my eyes. Bam! Opened my eyes. What felt like a few minutes later, it was half an hour later, I felt clear-headed. I felt relaxed. I could focus. I felt like all my burdens had gone. I said, that's fantastic. Have you got a book about this? He went, I certainly have. And he lent me a book by Richard Bandler, who was later to become my most prolific teacher. So I went away and I read this, and I went, oh, I think I see how this works. And so I was a disco. There was a pub in Cambridge where I did a gig on a Friday night. And I said, look, I'd really like to put a little hypnotism show on. And they went, all right, yeah. And the first week, about 20, 30 people showed up. Back. Next week, it was like 60, 70 people. Next week, queue around the block. I thought, crikey, maybe I should try and get a bigger venue. So, I mean, I was quite an ambitious person, you know, and so I hired a local theatre in Dunstable, and I used the radio station to promote the event, you know, say, I have this hypnotism show, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, a couple hundred people showed up. I thought, this is it. I want to do this. But I start doing army bases, you know, colleges, etc. And then I go to join Capital.
Really, this is the last time you'll hear me speaking on the Hot FM. And I'd just like to say that I've really enjoyed myself here over the last 3 years. And, well, you'll catch me in the area. As I mentioned, I'll continue to do hypnotic shows in the area. But to all my friends and to everyone that's been so kind and good to me over the last 3 years, I'd like to say I'll miss you. And thank you very much for your support, and I'm sure we'll meet again in the near future, and take care. And I couldn't really think of anything more appropriate to finish with than this record.
Okay, so let's talk about that move to Capital then, because you'd had your first brush with national radio. Let's not forget that, because I can recall you doing shows for us at Radio Luxembourg whilst you were at Chilton. But then you got the call from Euston Tower.
Richard Park joined Capital in, I think it was 87. He came down to London, and immediately you began to hear a sharper Capital sound. And he could hear Chilton, of course, in London. So he had his eye on Pat. He hired Pat Sharp, put him together with Mick Brown. And one day I went down to see my friend Pat Sharp. And at the time, Capital had this open plan office called the Playpen. So there were individual offices around it, but basically everyone intermingled, which was great for camaraderie. So anyway, I go in and I'm talking away to Pat, and then suddenly Richard's secretary comes over and says, Paula, Richard would like to talk to you. I mean, Richard Park, oh my God. So, you know, I kept, sit down, Paulie. Very nice to meet you. And he said, I've been listening to you. So, like what I hear, might be a place for you here. And I said, well, I would love to come and work here, because, you know, it'd been my dream as a kid. The first show I start with, I'm taking over from Kenny Everett, his Saturday slot.
And following Alan Freeman on the air every Saturday.
No pressure.
And that's it for the Saturday. Paul McKenna is next. Have a lovely weekend, tour off.
You know, and I'd never been nervous, really, broadcasting, because I'd been doing it for so long. But, you know, the first few weeks, it was horrendous. You know, I remember my hands shaking. And also, I got into a kind of stupid way of thinking. I'd go, God, Kenny would have been so funny by now. Kenny would have been... Even though it was different time, different era, because Kenny'd moved over to the AM station. They split it. They had Gold on the AM, and then on the FM, the contemporary music. Anyway, I actually suddenly sort of found my beat.
Tina Turner appearing as part of the Capital Music Festival at Woburn Abbey on the 28th of July. That's next year. Capital FM counting down the most popular compact discs.
Capital Radio owns a theatre. I know. I went to see Richard Park, right? And this is a destiny moment, right? And I said, look, Richard, I don't know if you know, but, you know, I do I do these hypnotism shows. He goes, I've heard, Paulie. I said, so, look, I just wondered if I might be able to get some sort of deal so I could hire the theatre and promote them on the air, because we promote, you know, concerts and a few, I think we promote some other sorts of shows. And he sat back in his chair and he goes, I'll back you. Now, I think all success in life comes down to people backing you, right? So if you're a politician, your voters back you. If you're, I don't know, a retailer, your customers back you, etc. If you're a DJ, your listeners back you. And at that moment, Richard Park backed me. I'll never forget it. In fact, I remember years later asking him, I said, Richard, why did you back me? Because I don't know if I would. And he said, it was a really lovely thing he said to me. He goes, I saw the spark, Paul. I saw the spark. Anyway, so basically, I then go to the bank and I borrow what have been nearly like a year's wages, I think. And so it's a big punt for me, this. And I make a promo, and everyone kindly plays it way more than it's logged to be played. So I'm getting like big advertising for this event. And I put on a show on a Sunday night at the Duke of York's. Ooh, half the theatre's full. That's not bad. It's not bad. Next week it's full. Right. I mean, oh my God. And I play an entire run of shows, and suddenly I'm off to the races. And I've sort of become much more obsessed now with hypnotism. And so promoter comes to see me, and I said, you know, you should be touring the show around the country, etc. But I'm really enjoying working at Capital Radio. So I'm trying to mix the two things at the same time. Then Michael Cohen, my agent, says, Paul, you know, Radio 1 for you right now. You're hot. You know, I went, okay. So I went on and I basically cut together some of my Capital bits and pieces, and I made a demo tape that I sent to Johnny Beerling.
From the centre of the city to the centre of your dial, this is London's music power. Capital FM.
I've been a broadcaster for 9 years. I started in Top Shop, I've worked on Radio Caroline, Luxembourg, did The Breakfast Show on Chilton for 3.5 years. I worked as a presenter for Music Box Television and BSB's Power Station. I've been at Capital for 3 years, and in that time I've done every single show on the station. Here's a sample of what I can do.
Capital 95.8.
I get a phone call to come and see Chris Lysett, right? And I, at the time, I felt, you know, it looked a bit pasty, so I was using one of these face tanners. And I was going out with this girl. She said, why don't you put some of that face tan cream on? And I put way too much on, right? So I wake up the morning of my Radio 1 interview, right, with Chris Lysett. And I'm not kidding. I don't look like George Hamilton. I look like Trump Tango Orange, right? And so it was, I don't, literally, you know, like you can in your head, as you're looking in the mirror, right? And so I go in and I'm thinking all the way I'm feeling so self-conscious all the way through this interview, and he must have been thinking, who's this orange guy? But anyway, lovely Chris, I got through that round of it, and then I go to meet Johnny, and I said, yeah, we'd like to offer you a 6-month contract, come and do the early breakfast show and then do some sit-ins.
Morning from 1FM. Got some great music here. A stack of good compact discs and records. Your chance to win as well. Any record of my choice between now and 7 o'clock. And I thought we'd slip this one in this morning. What a corker. From Quincy Jones' Stuff Like That album.
I came to work here at Radio 1, and I remember coming. I sat down with Johnny, and he sort of just gently chatted to me, and I thought, oh, wow, you kind of, it was a very different atmosphere, because a commercial radio station it's about making money. It's driven by commerce. So, you know, sponsors, advertisers, and you're thinking all the time, we don't want to upset these people, or we've got to play this now because, you know, et cetera. It's all part of what keeps the company going. Whereas an institution like the BBC, which, by the way, I think is fantastic, is a bit more like the civil service in a way. You don't have all the same commercial concerns. constraints or rewards. You make decisions entirely outside of that. It's what's in the sort of public interest or for your remit, you know, to be a public service. So it's a slightly different atmosphere. And certainly, you know, Broadcasting House is this, and Exon House, where Radio 1 was this sort of beautiful old sort of, I can't describe it. It was different, very different. Exactly. I mean, you know, the
iconic.
Yeah.
Although we didn't use that word very often in those days, did we?
Well, no, because I suppose you sort of use that now, you know, retrospectively.
The bastion of broadcasting, and also you could go anywhere in the world and everybody knows the BBC. Everybody knows that building.
It's the building I'd come into 10 years earlier to watch Tommy Vance. And by this time, so I've got two careers going on. I'm a DJ by day, hypnotist by night. Now, I got assigned this producer, a guy called Jonathan Ruff, who was great. And what I did was, because the great thing is Radio 1 have this fantastic jam jingle package. Jam, yeah, it's great, very glossy sound jingles, love them. And I thought, I'll chance my arm, and I bought my own jingle.
I remember this.
Of course, you can imagine not everyone was pleased by that.
I remember you getting it.
No one knows where he came from, playing records with his bare hands. Paul McKenna, the man with no name. Except for that one.
And then I got to sit in for people like Gary Davis and Steve Wright and you know, the daytime shows, you know, follow Simon Bates, you know. I have to tell you as well, the greatest radio studios I've ever worked in are those studios that were in Exon House. I mean, they had the most beautiful desks, they had these turntables, these massive EMT turntables. You hit a button and the record plays, and you hit another button and it goes backwards and cues itself up. CDs had just sort of come in those days, but it's big. There's a technical operator next door, you have a producer, you know, it feels big, and it's the BBC, and you know the moment you open the microphone, millions of people are listening to what you're going to say.
It's a letter from, well, it's actually a fax, I should say, from Sharon Summers, who's faxed us from Aberdeen, and she said, can you tell me what that piece of music is from The Lost Boys? The Gerald McMahon record, I think you're referring to, Cry Little Sister. This is it. Rather haunting piece of music. She said she tried her local radio station, but they won't even answer the phone, so to them.
I remember going into Paul Robinson was one of the chiefs as well, and I mean, funny, my crew and Paul's had crossed a few times, and he'd become one of the bosses. He was boss of daytime, I think, and he said, "Look, we sat down to look at the audience figures." He says, no, the BBC audience appreciation as well. So it's not just how many people are listening, it's do the audience approve you? What do they think? And there are all these focus group notes, which was really interesting. I'd never had that sort of feedback before. And, you know, I said, so I think mine was, it was in the 70s, right? And he said, no, this is good. Simon Mayo was about 76. It was, so this was, again, a quirk of the, or kind of a brilliant thing, the BBC, that it wasn't just the amount of people listening. It was the quality that the audience felt you were delivering, right? So that's a different mindset to a commercial station. So, I mean, I was absolutely loving it. It was summer 91. I can remember now the John Wells jingle.
Summer 91 on 1FM.
Paul McKenna is so clever, absolutely indestructible. Quite nice.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon. It's McKenna sitting in for Gary Davis once again, and what a show we have for you this afternoon. This is the only McKenna alive and in captivity, here to play you the world's greatest music. You can win any record of your choice, and of course we have the lunchtime menu sent in to us by Gavin Davis from Essex, and he wants to rock out seriously, and I like that.
Paul McKenna, he's a rock and roller, always wears clean underwear. Something nice boy, mummy's proud and joy, still sleeps with a teddy bear. He's a scully, he's a chap, hates funk on a rap. He never flubs his tea. Always wild on top, but he's in bed by nine. Hangs around in women's life between. Hey, I can't sing that.
It was crystal clear listening to you on Radio 1 that you absolutely adored being on the network. So it must have been a guts, and dare I say, a heart-wrenching decision to actually leave.
I'm really loving it. But at the same time, the hypnotism shows have kicked off. And my promoter, by this stage, I started booking, you know, because you have to book way in advance, venues up and down the country. So I was just trying to do too much, and I kept finding I kept getting sick. And I remember doing one of these OBs, and Malcolm Brown said, you know, he goes, you're really not well. You've got to go home, Paul. I went, I can't let the side down. He goes, you let the side down if you're not yourself, you know, your best sort of thing. You know, he said, come on, go, you got to go home. And he was right. And I went home, and I was in a big struggle in my head because I thought, I had to make a decision, and I had done this process where I'd ask myself this question, which a lot of the American motivational speakers use, which is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I thought, well, if I couldn't fail, I'd be on television. I'd be doing a hypnotism show on television. I'd be a hypnotist, actually. Much as I love the music, I'd do that. I'd travel the world. I'd make self-improvement cassettes in those days. I'd work with people from the arts, sports business, etc., you know. And what happened was I was doing a show on a Sunday night, and a TV producer called Paul Smith, who's a legendary producer, famous for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and all sorts of other shows. He comes around to see me in the dressing room, and he goes, I've been looking for you for 10 years. And I said, excuse me? He said, I've been looking for somebody like you. I want to do a hypnotism show, but I haven't been able to find someone who I think will work on television. And so we knocked this pilot off, and I went in to see Johnny Beerling, lovely Johnny, and I said, look, Johnny, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to leave because I'm going to follow my career as a hypnotist. And he went, oh, come on, mate, you know, look, you know, they want a better show. There's nothing wrong with a better show. You'll get a better show. You know, I'm sure things will work out. I went, no, Johnny, you don't understand. I can't do the two things, and I really appreciate it. I'm sorry, and he went, okay, all right, well, if that's what you want to do. And it felt like, I felt this knot in my stomach. I suddenly thought, you know, I walked out of his office, and I thought, what the hell have I done? You know, who in their right mind leaves Radio 1? But I also knew I had to do this. Now, I did my last show, and I got this lovely letter from Johnny Beerling saying, well, I said, you may be surprised here, but I actually heard your show. It's from between 4 and 7, and I thought it was good. And I just want to say, Paul, if things don't work out, the door's still open here.
Oh, lovely.
What a lovely thing to say. So even though I'd left Radio 1, which was terrifying, and so I'd made a bold decision, and as a result, within a few weeks, ITV decided they wanted to do a hypnotism show. And that's it. I was then... Basically, the 80s was all about being a DJ for me. The 90s was all about being a hypnotist, a comedy hypnotist.
Right, I thought I'd better update you. The weather, freezing fog and black ice reported on many routes across England and Wales. Visibility in some areas, less than 5 yards. Treacherous driving conditions are widespread, with built-up areas in London and other cities affected, as well as other parts of the country. We're keeping you in touch and up to date. Brand new one from Voice of the Beehive, and the headlines are next.
I just feel very glad to have been a part of this golden era of radio. And I got to work on the best radio stations of that era. You know, Caroline, Chilton, Capital, and Radio 1.
Paul McKenna, what an absolute thrill. What a delight to have you as a guest on this series.
Oh, so much more to say. I mean, you've hardly asked me any questions. We'll be right back.